The head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, will join us here at Gillette Stadium at 9:20, and we will see if he agrees with Devon Godchow, who said yesterday that it looks like there are guys who are not playing with pride out there on that defense. But right now, Boomer Esiason, who is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. You can find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, fun times continue at Gillette Stadium. Are you guys still there this morning?
We are, and it's raining. But there is a little bit of a light on the horizon, at least we think there is. What did you see from Drake May in his NFL debut as a starter yesterday?
Well, you know, he was nervous. I saw some good things. Obviously, you could see that he can move. He's got a hell of an arm. It's going to take him a while to get used to it. But, you know, quite frankly, playing him in the sixth week of the NFL season, I think, was smart. I know that you guys were clamoring for him earlier, but they were trying to win games in a way that was going to keep games from getting out of hand like yesterday did. So yesterday gets out of hand because you have four sacks. One leads to a fumble. You have, three interceptions, I think. You had all sorts of penalties. And all of those things happen, you know, when a rookie quarterback takes over, especially when he's nervous. I mean, it was different. It looked like they had a chance. It was exciting because it was a young quarterback that was drafted number three overall. But at the end of the day, the four turnovers, the nine penalties, the drop passes, puts the defense really on the field way too much and puts them in bad field positions. So,
well, they were also playing a really good football team.
No, I know, right? I know.
They could have. I mean, I maybe the result would have been different. We could argue it forever. But if he had played last week against the Dolphins, I mean.
Yeah, I would just say it was much better in terms of just the actual, I don't know, I would say excitement. I saw somebody write mayhem. and maybe that's what it was, a little bit of mayhem. Yeah. And it was a little bit of everything mixed in there. But I would think that if you are a Patriots fan and you watched this yesterday, you probably felt pretty good about your young quarterback, that maybe you probably hit on this kid, but it's way too early to tell. But at the end of the day, it's a highlighting of just where the Patriots are in their roster building. I know they have injuries. I know they have offensive line problems. I know they have wide receiver problems. But quite frankly, I believe it's Elliott Wolf, right? I believe he has his work cut out for him. This is probably the most barren roster in the NFL at the moment. Them and Carolina. And
well,
maybe the Raiders.
Boomer, part of that is because of his inability to get guys this offseason. But my question is, and what I think a lot of us Patriots fans took away from yesterday, is you saw his growth just in that game from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, of how he looked more comfortable and how he went in the right direction and wasn't making maybe the same mistakes early in the game that he was in the later part of the game. So it gives us some like a kind of silver light at the end of the tunnel there.
Yeah, I mean, well, good luck. That tunnel's going to be really long.
I mean, silver light. You don't often see the silver light.
Well, the silver lining and the light.
You got the lining and the light.
Look, we all made that mistake. Yeah. I mean, it is really early when we do this. and I can understand, like, you guys feel like you've been hit over the head with the idiot stick over the last 6 weeks. But the tunnel is going to be long, Wiggs. And the reason I say that is just because of the support system around him is just not, it's just not that good. I mean, maybe some of these young wide receivers will come along simply because he'll make some extra plays with his legs. He'll get out of the pocket. He'll get away from a rush, and he'll find some kids. Now, this is what it's all about. Right now, from this point until the end of the season, it's about evaluating the young talent, looking at what they have, and then most likely deciding, if I were them, they're probably going to have the number one overall pick, either them or the Raiders or Carolina. And, you know, they're not going to want a quarterback, so they could be able to manufacture something out of this draft with a trade when we get there, because there will be three or four quarterbacks that are going to be coveted in the top five. So you got to believe they're going to have a top five pick. You got to believe that somehow they got to manufacture that into a bevy of young players and draft picks, because they have to rebuild this roster. I mean, especially the offensive line. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It is a turnstile. They have injuries. There are guys playing out of position, most likely, or shouldn't even be playing. And they got a rookie quarterback behind them who's dealing with that. So there's going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of turnovers. There's going to be a lot of sacks. There are going to be a lot of misreads. There's going to be a lot of miscommunication. But it's going to be fun to watch it, because he's an athlete and he can make plays.
Boomer, mentally, what's it like as a starting quarterback after your first start in the NFL? What's Drake going through right now this morning, going to bed last night? What's something that he can take with him, or something that he just needs to leave in the past, in this past game?
I think you're asking me to go back 40 years and think about this.
But I know you have a good memory.
I do. I think we beat the Houston Oilers 13-3. And what I do remember my rookie year, I started four games and had no clue to what the hell I was doing. I would get up behind the line of scrimmage, Courtney, and I would look out there and I'd go, are there 15 freaking guys out there? I mean, that's how sometimes confused you can be. And if you remember, Sam Darnold, when he was with the Jets, he made a comment that I saw ghosts out there, meaning that sometimes you're not really sure what you're looking at, and sometimes you think that there are more players on the field for the opponent than there really are. But I would imagine that Drake didn't get much sleep last night. I think he feels like he wants to play better, and he will play better eventually when they get better around him. He'll be a little bit more comfortable. I think Jermaine said it. He said he got better as the game went on, looked a little bit more comfortable as the game got on. And hopefully that's going to carry over in the next few weeks. Now, they play a Jacksonville team in London next week that just looks completely lost. I don't know how they can. I guess they could beat Jacksonville. Anybody can. It looks like there's a lack of will for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Jacksonville has a better roster, a significantly better roster. So if they're going to get a win, this would be the week where maybe Drake May shines and maybe they can somehow come away with a victory.
Well, that Jacksonville team, you have a player like Andre Sisco saying basically they all quit in the second half. Is that a bigger issue when it comes to their head coach? And
it is on their coach, man. And I like Doug Peterson. I thought he was going to be great for Trevor Lawrence, and I thought he was going to bring the best out in him. But when you hear players talking like that, they're basically, that's code for we don't respect the head coach, and that's really sad. They could be saying the same thing in Las Vegas this morning too. I mean, you saw the push. I don't know if you saw any of this game. They were pushing and shoving on the sideline. Max Crosby, I think it looked like he was pushing either, I don't know, I couldn't tell if it was the trainer or the defensive line coach away from him for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but when you're losing and things are ugly and players realize that you don't have a chance and you don't believe in your coach, these are the kinds of comments that come out of the locker room. I will say, for as long as Bill Belichick was the coach of the Patriots, they've never, ever said anything like that. And I hope that these players don't say anything in regards to that when it comes to their locker room, because that would be a poor reflection on Gerard Mayo, who I do believe that they like. I do believe that they respect him. I said that early on, and hopefully it doesn't come down to comments like that.
We call the pushing the coach the Rodgers.
Yes, push him right out of town.
Around the NFL these days.
Just quickly on one more on Drake May, Boomer. That one thing I feel like we know is that he is not the dink Mac Jones was. Like I felt like he was a guy that, at least in one game, who the hell knows, but he appeared unflappable. Not that he didn't take a sack or make some bad throws. It just was this, even the post-game podium performance felt like a guy with the aw shucks more than I know everything and I'm better than you.
Yeah, there's a humble nature about him without question. And, you know, I guess C.J. Stroud was talking a little bit about Drake May because I guess they have some sort of relationship that they've had and they played with each other. And, you know, or Drake May was going to go Ohio State when C.J. was there. So they know each other. And CJ was very complimentary at Drake after the game, and you know that's always a good sign. I mean, this is just going to be a long rest of the season. Hopefully, there's going to be growth, and he doesn't get hurt. Hopefully, you know he'll be able to get himself out of problems, but I do, I agree. I believe that he threw the ball down the field, and we like to say with purpose, meaning that, you know, this is the kind of kid he is. He's going to be aggressive, and everybody loves an aggressive quarterback as long as he's accurate and doesn't throw the ball to the other team. And I think that that is something that, you can take that out of yesterday's game.
Boomer, both Williams and Daniels look really good. Is it possible for the first time maybe ever both the one and the two pick end up being superstars in this league?
They could be. I mean, they all three of these guys could be, really. I mean, I do know that Caleb Williams has probably the best team around him. And I do know that Jaden Daniels has really good wide receivers, and he, of course, has got Terry McLaurin. They run the ball effectively. You know, they played Baltimore tough yesterday. I didn't expect them to win. That's a tough place for a rookie quarterback to go into, no matter how well he is playing. The biggest thing that rookies have to stay away from, and it showed itself yesterday with Drake May, and that is the turnovers. He had three of them himself, and that's usually what leads to big numbers for the opposing team. And 41 points is a lot in an NFL game. And Houston scored, I think, three out of the four quarters, and they had 24 points in the second half. And a lot of that is due to the turnovers and stuff. So that they were trying to stay away from that with Jacoby Brissett. He was limited in what he can do. But if this is going to be the mayhem that I read about, it's going to be fun watching it. I just hope that he makes it through the rest of the season.
Boomer, when you look at the league, it looks like there's a lot of parity now. The teams that we had high expectations for, teams like the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, don't kind of look like they're the same football team, similar with the Jets. What do you think the difference has been this year in the NFL, especially with some of these teams that we had high expectations for, and some of these other teams we've seen come out of nowhere, like the Minnesota Vikings?
I think it's injuries. You know, I do think that Baltimore and Detroit, San Francisco, and Kansas City, you know, are the four best teams. And I guess you could throw Houston in there. I guess you could say they're the one of the top teams. But it's really going to come down to November and January. Who gets hot that last 6 weeks? How healthy are they? I know every time that Kansas City steps on the field, their defense is going to keep it close, and then Patrick Mahomes wins the fourth quarter, much like Tom Brady used to do up in New England. So there are good teams that are getting players back. Like the Bengals last night, for instance, didn't have their best game, but they won, and they got a lot of their defensive guys back that had been hurt, especially along the defensive line. Now, they played a very, you know, questionable Giants team. I guess you could say that they're playing hard for Brian Daboll, but they just can't play very good on offense. But when you look at what happened with the Bengals, you know, they got some of their key players back, and they won a game, and they didn't have to score 40 points to do it. So that was a good sign for the Bengals, and I think they'll be back in the mix. But I think it's injuries, but I do think we do have our top-tier teams, and there are five of those teams that are in that tier that I think will be there in the playoffs, you know, come February, you know, January and February.
We touched briefly on the Jets situation. Do you think at the end of the season Aaron Rodgers is marching himself in and asking that they get Bill Belichick?
No. I actually think they're going to play better now. Nathaniel Hackett was way in over his head. He was way in over his head as a head coach out in Denver. Russell Wilson couldn't stand it. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett. He's a great human being, supposedly. I'd rather have a jackass who's a great football coach coaching my team if I were owning the team. And I think that Rob Saul wanted to make a move with the offensive coordinator, and I think Woody Johnson got wind of that. And you got to remember, Woody was the ambassador to Great Britain for 4 years. He was over there last week. They lose a game to Minnesota. Prior to that was the loss to the Broncos. Things started building here. You could see the frustration on the sidelines. So I actually believe Woody Johnson made the absolute right call. I don't like coaches getting fired in the middle of the season. My friend Frank Wright went through it twice. It's hard on the family. It's hard on their reputation. But if you're trying to save a season and you think you have a great roster and that roster is not performing, you have to shake things up. And I think Woody did it early enough in this season where Todd Downing, now the offensive coordinator, is going to shore things up. It's not going to be the Aaron Rodgers show out there. Do whatever you want. Do it whenever you want to do it. And expect to have the same success you had when you were in Green Bay. I think there's going to be a little bit more of a game plan. They're going to be able to respond to different things that defenses have been doing to them, like blitzing and having an answer for those things, which I can't believe that they don't have for a 40-year-old quarterback. So hopefully this thing is going to kickstart the Jets. And I can't believe it, but they're playing for first place tonight against the Bills.
One last one. The Jerry Jones flying his helicopter into the middle of practice loses some of its luster to me when he keeps Mike McCarthy employed in a walk year and doesn't bring in a guy like Bill Belichick to make that roster and the team perform at a higher level.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on down there, and I can't believe that a coach would go into a season as a lame duck head coach. At least give me another year. And I think Mike McCarthy was trying to do everything he can to hold on to that job. And yesterday was good old Jer's 82nd birthday, and they got walloped. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that 75% of the NFL fans out there enjoyed that very much, because everybody seems to hate the Cowboys except for the Cowboy fan.
Right. Question of the week for you, Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. You brought up London. Roger Goodell there this week said an overseas Super Bowl is a possibility soon. Are you a fan?
That would suck. So I guess I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't
Sunday
mind the international
9:30 a.m. Super Bowl.
I kind of love it.
I do not mind, you know, the fact that they have these international games, and I like a Sunday where you start at 9:30 in the morning. You got football all the way through, and I kind of like that. But I don't even want to think about taking the National Football League out of the United States of America for its Super Bowl. I want the championship always to be here. I want our cities to benefit from it. I want, whether it be New Orleans, Arizona, L.A., Houston, I want those cities to have the Super Bowl, because they're the ones, and the taxpayers are the ones, and the fans are the ones that are underwriting this entire freaking league, if people have forgotten that. And I do not, in my lifetime, I do not want to see a Super Bowl overseas.
All right, very definitive, and I appreciate it as always.
Before you go, can I just ask, Mets or Yankees?
I think the Yankees are going to make the World Series. I'm not worried about that, but I think the Mets really struggled last night. They got it, but the good thing about baseball is they get to come back today at 4:00 and do it all over again. If they lose two in L.A., I think they're going to be finished. But this Mets team has shown a real resilience over the last 6.5 to 8 weeks. So keep my fingers crossed that they'll win today.
Boomer, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Look forward to it, guys. See ya.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Good stuff from Boomer there, as always. Trending now, brought to you by the 99. Tonight, we'll see the Bills and the Jets in Monday Night Football, 8:15 kickoff. Ken reminded me we will have the game right here on EEI. Coverage starts at 7:30. The Patriots fall to the Texans 41-21. It was May Day. Drake completed 20 of 33 passes for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions in this one, and Jerod Mayo not happy with his defense. Here's what he had to say after the loss.
Defensively, I would say just the fundamentals of just tackling and our run fits have to improve. They have to improve. And I told all those guys, I said, you should feel like crap today. You should feel like crap. You take away those two long runs. We had 2 runs over 50 yards. I mean, that's just not winning football.
The Bruins get another win at home over the weekend, an overtime win on Saturday over the Kings. They have the matinee matchup with the Panthers today, 1 p.m. puck drop. And we have our NLCS and ALCS matchups. NLCS has the Dodgers up 1 on the Mets, and over in the AL, the Guardians kick off the series against the Yankees in the Bronx tonight at 7:38. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. 4 hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. Like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin, you gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. I have good news for you, Greg.
Yeah?
Are you looking to do any fun fall activities this weekend?
Yes.
Fun activities?
Well, I have an oyster bash to go to on the Cape on Saturday.
What's an oyster bash?
Oyster bash. Oysters.
What is that? Just like
it's at the lobster trap in Bourne. Benefit. Uh-huh. Actually, I think we have tickets to give away for that, Sean.
We sure do, Greg.
All right, we'll give those away at 8:45. But what were you going to
recommend? What day is that this weekend?
Saturday.
Oh, perfect 70 degrees. I don't know how to call a hot fall because I don't want to be canceled, but it's going to be warm.
It is going to be. It's a great event. It's outdoors. It benefits the Greg Hill Foundation this year. Oysters, drinks, great food, crab cakes, all the food that Wiggy hates, all the shellfish things.
Crab cakes and football.
Saturday. That's Maryland. That's what Maryland does.
My man.
Also, we've gone a couple hours here, and you've yet to mention, you know, I'm a big skygazer.
You sure are.
Isn't there a comet that is going to be viewable by the naked eye this evening?
Yeah, right around 7:35 tonight. If you look to the south-southwest of your sky, you're going to see a comet that has an 18-million-mile-long tail.
Wow.
18-million-mile-long tail.
Wow. Excellent.
That's what my due diligence told me.
Oh,
does
excellent.
The comet have a name?
Yeah, Uranus.
All right.
All right, Curtis, great job on the
weather. Thank you.
We are going to get to the news with Courtney next. On a Mayo Monday, Gerard Mayo will be with us in 1 hour at 9:20 this morning here at Gillette.